Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Might is Right Network at mightisright.net. At Might is Right Network, there is streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Might is Right Network at mightisright.net. Be there!
Welcome back, and now we will continue with part two of Jew atrocities.
It behooves us to analyze just how powerful tool-instigated wars are in the hands of the Jews. Some of the goals they achieve through instigating wars are as follows. A, they induce the white man to commit fratricide, brother killing brother, thereby decimating and weakening the white race as a whole. B, in wars like Korea and Vietnam, they use the colored races to kill the white man, but the results are the same, namely, the best of the young white population is killed, crippled, and maimed. C, through war, the Jews smash a potential stronghold of the white race, such as, for example, the threat the southern aristocracy posed to the power of the Jews, or as, for instance, the growing, thriving German nation posed to the Jews before World War I and World War II. Today, the strength of the United States as a whole is a threat to the Jews, and their total worldwide efforts are now bent toward smashing the United States, the foremost stronghold of the white race. And D, by impoverishing both sides of the warring nations or factions and lending money to them, the Jews thereby usually, when the war is over, have both sides ensnared in financial bondage, a miserable situation from which the victims are then unable to extricate themselves for decades. E, not only are the Jews involved in financing the wars and reaping tremendous profits thereby, but usually they have in their control their own agents in government that are doling out tremendously lucrative war contracts that enriches new hordes of Jews. When the war is over, the consolidation of their financial power and their stranglehold over the economy of the victim nations is greatly enhanced. F, without exception, wars incite and inflame hatreds between factions of the white race that will persist for generations in many instances. The Civil War is a good example. The Jews see to it that these hatreds are kept alive and are often used to instigate a second war of the same type a generation later. Wars are always accompanied, this is G, wars are always accompanied by a breakdown of moral standards and are very useful in the Jew program of destroying the morals and established traditions of the white man. H, by sending our young American boys all over the world to foreign colored countries like Japan, Korea, and Vietnam, many of them come back with colored wives, non-white wives. This is directly in line with the Jew program of mongrelizing the white race. In general, every war that the Jews push the white race into, the white race emerges weaker financially, morally, politically, and genetically. The Jews always emerge stronger financially, politically, and has dramatically advanced his program of destroying, mongrelizing, and enslaving the white race. And here are some other Jew atrocities. I would like to list many more of their vicious atrocities that have been perpetrated on the white race over the last several thousand years, but I cannot take the space. I would like to mention the 30 Years' War in Germany from 1618 to 1648, during which 5/6 of all the property was destroyed and 1/3 of the people killed. This was purely instigated by the Jews over their idiotic issue of religion. I would like to mention the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre in France when 50,000 Protestants were murdered. I would like to mention the Operation Keelhaul, in which white traitor Eisenhower collaborated with Russian Jews and Stalin to extradite 2 to 3 million nationals from all countries who had fought on the Allied side. They were forcibly rounded up and shipped back to Russia, where Stalin then wreaked vengeance upon them by either executing them or sending them to their death in Siberia. I could cite other instances of Jew atrocities perpetrated upon the white race, but we just do not have the space. So in summation, just let me say that the atrocities are boundless and endless. They're going on today as relentlessly as ever in the diabolical Jew program aimed at the destruction of the white race. There is one last atrocity, however, that I must bring to the attention of my white racial comrades. One of the most sinister atrocities of all time is being perpetrated upon white America today, yet very few people know it's going on. I am referring to the diabolical Jew program of mongrelizing the white race here in America. This fiendish program is being pursued relentlessly and furiously with every ounce of energy and with every weapon at their command. Yet the majority of the white people of America are completely asleep and befuddled on this issue. Very few are aware that this is the real Jewish objective of all of their civil rights gibberish. Let us make no mistake about it. It is their real objective. It is the unswerving goal of world Jewry to make America a mongrel, brown, and in fact, phase out the magnificent white race from the face of this planet. This is without a doubt the most damaging, the most permanent, and the most fiendish catastrophe that the Jew could possibly perpetrate on nature's crowning glory, the noble white race. If all buildings were smashed, as in Germany, and our highways and railways were wrecked, we would suffer a severe blow. But we could rebuild them, as have the Germans, if our cities were destroyed, as the niggers and the Jews have done in the heart of some of our great cities in America today. We can and will erect newer and better ones. We could be defeated in war. We could suffer every kind of catastrophe. But we could raise new sons who would redeem our power. But let us never forget that if the blood of our white race should become mingled and mongrelized with the black blood of Africa, then the white race has, for all purposes, been destroyed forever, and all hope for the future would be forever gone. We would be much better off dead than have the magnificent, noble white race corrupted into an abysmal brown scum to be enslaved by the Jews. It is the avowed aim of this book and our new religion to awaken the white people of America and of the world. It is our goal to organize them, to give them a fighting creed, and for us to again regain absolute and unconditional control of our manifest destiny. There was another reading that I wanted to try to slip in here, and I'll try to do that now. I'm going to go ahead and read through this real quick because I want you to hear some of these points. The following is an explanatory historical record for incoming generations so that when they become totally enslaved through our inaction in the coming years, they might understand how their parents and grandparents were duped. And so they might forgive their ancestors for simply leaving things up to others, staying silent and inactive, and so consenting to global enslavement and deprivation of spiritual growth. This document is circulated to be stored in the archives of every home because today's skeptics, leaders, and media will soon come to realize that they should have done their own research rather than, for reasons of selfish, temporary security or personal gain, simply being robotically compliant to the perpetrators of massive deception. This is the reason why I mentioned kind of a disclaimer of my own about the Illuminati, but I don't care where it comes from, but as I read through some of these things, you'll know some of this stuff is true. But they mentioned here in this little pamphlet, it was a PDF, please copy it and pass it on. And they mentioned here when the Illuminati was started in the 1770s with the Rothschilds, you know, his money and his planning, they came up with this secret covenant of the Illuminati. And I'm going to read through it. An illusion it will be, so large, so vast, it will escape their perception. Those who will see it will be thought of as insane. We will create separate fronts to prevent them from seeing the connection between us. We will behave as if we are not connected to keep the illusion alive. Our goal will be accomplished one drop at a time so as to never bring suspicion upon ourselves. This will also prevent them from seeing the changes as they occur. We will always stand above the relative field of their experience, for we know the secrets of the Absolute. We will work together always and will remain bound by blood and secrecy. Death will come to he who speaks. We will keep their lifespan short and their minds weak while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so they will never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators and sedatives in food and water, also in the air. They will be blanketed by poisons everywhere they turn. The soft metals will cause them to lose their minds. We will promise to find a cure from our many fronts, yet we will feed them more poison. The poisons will be absorbed through their skin and mouths. They will destroy their minds and reproductive systems. From all this, their children will be born dead, and we will conceal this information. The poisons will be hidden in everything that surrounds them, in what they drink, eat, breathe, and wear. We must be ingenious in dispensing the poisons, for they can see far. We will teach them that the poisons are good, with fun images and musical tones. Those they look up to will help. We will enlist them to push our poisons. They will see our products being used in film and will grow accustomed to them and will never know their true effect. When they give birth, we will inject poisons into the blood of their children and convince them it is for their help. We will start early on. When their minds are young, we will target their children with what children love most, sweet things. When their teeth decay, we will fill them with metals that will kill their mind and steal their future. When their ability to learn has been affected, we will create medicine that will make them sicker and cause other diseases for which we will create yet more medicine. We will render them docile and weak before us by our power. They will grow depressed, slow, and obese. And when they come to us for help, we will give them more poison. We will focus their attention toward money and material goods so they never connect with their inner self. We will distract them with fornication, external pleasures, and games so they may never be one with the oneness of it all. Their minds will belong to us and they will do as we say. If they refuse, we shall find ways to implement mind-altering technology into their lives. We will use fear as our weapon. We will establish their governments and establish opposites within. We will own both sides. We will always hide our objective, but carry out our plan. They will perform the labor for us, and we shall prosper from their toil. Our families will never mix with theirs. Our blood must be pure always, for that is the way. We will make them kill each other when it suits us. We will keep them separated from the oneness by dogma and religion. We will control all aspects of their lives and tell them what to think and how. We will guide them kindly and gently, letting them think they are guiding themselves. We will foment animosity between them through our factions. When a light shall shine among them, we shall extinguish it by ridicule or death, which suits us best. We will make them rip each other's hearts apart and kill their own children. We will accomplish this by using hate as our ally, anger as our friend. The hate will blind them totally, and never shall they see that from their conflicts we emerge as the rulers. They will be busy killing each other. They will bathe in their own blood and kill their neighbors for as long as we see fit. We will benefit greatly from this. For they will not see us, for they cannot see us. We will continue to prosper from their wars and their deaths. We shall repeat this over and over until our ultimate goal is accomplished. We will continue to make them live in anger through images and sounds. We will use all the tools we have to accomplish this. The tools will be provided by their labor. We will make them hate themselves and their neighbors. We will always hide the divine truth from them, that we are all one. This they must never know. They must never know that color is an illusion. They must always think they are not equal. Drop by drop, drop by drop, we will advance our goal. We will take over their land, resources, and wealth to exercise total control over them. We will deceive them into accepting laws that will steal the little freedom they have. We will establish a money system that will imprison them forever, keeping them and their children in debt. When they shall band together, we shall accuse them of crimes and present a different story to the world, for we shall own all the media. We will use our media to control the flow of information and their sentiment in our favor. When they shall rise up against us, we will crush them like insects, for they are less than that. They will be helpless to do anything, for they will have no weapons. We will recruit some of their own to carry out our plans. We will promise them eternal life, but eternal life they will never have, for they are not of us. The recruits will be called initiates and will be indoctrinated to believe false rites of passage to higher realms. Members of these groups will think they are one with us, never knowing the truth. They must never learn this truth, for they will turn against us for their work. They will be rewarded with earthly things and great titles, but never will they become immortal and join us. Never will they receive the light and travel the stars. They will never reach the higher realms, for the killing of their own kind will prevent passage to the realm of enlightenment. This they will never know. The truth will be hidden in their face, so close they will not be able to focus on it until it is too late. I'll say that again. The truth will be hidden in their face, so close they will not be able to focus on it until it is too late. Oh yes, so grand the illusion of freedom will be that they will never know they are our slaves. When all is in place, the reality we have created for them will own them. This reality will be their prison. They will live in self-delusion. When our goal is accomplished, a new era of domination will begin. Their minds will be bound by their beliefs, the beliefs we have established from time immemorial. But if they ever find out they are our equal, we shall perish then. This they must never know. If they ever find out that together they can vanquish us, they will take action. They must never, ever find out what we have done. For if they do, we shall have no place to run. For it will be easy to see who we are once the veil has fallen. Our actions will have revealed who we are, and they will hunt us down, and no person shall give us shelter. This is the secret covenant by which we shall live the rest of our present and future lives, for this reality will transcend many generations and lifespans. The covenant is sealed by blood, our blood. We, the ones who from heaven to earth came. This covenant must never, ever be known to exist. It must never, ever be written or spoken of, for if it is, the consciousness it will spawn will release the fury of the Prime Creator upon us, and we shall be cast to the depths from whence we came and remain there until the end of time. And then they just go on with some other things here, you know, about the Rothschilds and that. But I wanted to read that main thing because in reading that, there's almost no doubt as to who would be behind all this. I'm going to try and bring up a caller here if I can. Good evening, caller. Do you have any comments for us?
Yeah.
Oh, Bill, how are you?
Great. I don't know what that was you were reading. I missed the beginning just now, so you might want to put that in the description box for the podcast, the link to that.
Yes, I can. That was a PDF, and it was something about the Illuminati. And I gave that disclaimer at the beginning because I didn't want people to think I'm, you know, crazy about Jesuits, the Illuminati, and all these organizations. I understand them. I've read them. But there's the Jews behind just about everything, if you really look. And I just wanted to read that, but I'll include that, yes.
All right, and then the link for the Nature's Eternal. I know you list it there, but you should put
yeah,
that link.
Yeah, those are two, they're both PDFs, and I can do that as well so that they can go and find these specifically and also have even more at their fingertips.
Right, and there is a link which includes that holy book from Creativity as well as some others and Might is Right. It's linked up there on the top right of the site. If you want to read it online, that place where you were reading it from is a good place because it has the chapters up top, and then you can click the chapter, you know, and it'll bring you to that section. So it's a nice place to read it online. And then, of course, over at archive.org, they have some of them where you can just listen to them as well. But I wanted to just point out when it comes to Jews, of course, we know there's only the three races left, your Negroids, Caucasoids, and your Mongoloids. But there's all sorts of different racial groups, and many people get confused about that. They're not races, per se, but they're racial groupings, like your mulattoes, right, your mestizos, and others. And I know when it comes to Jews, it's quite complicated because there's all these different mixing. And even though their rabbis teach them and other religious leaders not to mix other than the ones they want to do that for power reasons, to get in powerful positions in families with the goyim, but generally they don't want their Jews to mix. But there's been plenty of that going on. So we have the different racial makeups of the Jews. You know, there's usually certain traits they all have in common, but sometimes not. And some of them look more like Middle Eastern types of your typical Middle Eastern non-white. Others have more European in them, you know, so there, it's a complicated situation. But to me, there's, you know, it's very clear there is a racial aspect to it. It's not just them saying so. It's the link, the mother. And for us racialists, well, we consider, even if it isn't an official Jew, meaning born of a Jewish mother, and sometimes if a wealthy Jew, like the Hollywood moguls, they dumped their Jewish wife, married white Caucasoid types, but they had them convert just so that officially their children would be, you know, Jews. But as far as we're concerned, even if their mother's not a Jew, but their father is, or their grandfather or grandmother, as far as I'm concerned, they're still part Jewish. So it's a conspiracy against everyone who's not a Jew. That's an aspect of all Jews. And then there's the religious aspect. But we've got to remember that most Jews, like here in the United States, say that they're atheists. But they still are brought up on that Jewish religion. And even the atheist ones like Gene Simmons, in that quote he made on one of these reality shows where some guy was working on his car, he said that's what the goyim are for, you know, fixing our things. So they still buy into that specialness, that chosenness, even if they're atheists. And then the other aspect of it is the racial component. These people that convert because they're insane or because they're in industries where they want to kiss Jew ass, well, the other Jews don't consider them to be real Jews because they're not racial Jews. They don't have the racial component. But they have decided to become scum, or maybe they always were scum, but they should be dealt with just like any other Jews, but they're clearly somewhat different, you know, because they did so to kiss ass. So I know in the general world, most people are confused about, well, what is a Jew? And they run our media. They have a lot of power in academia. If they wanted the goy to know what Jews were, they would let us know. But they want us to think of it in terms of just a religion. Well, you know, we know it's more than that. It's a conspiracy, and there's also a racial component. But even if we were to just focus on that religion, you notice that the masses have no understanding of it. They just think it's something similar to Christianity, which they also don't understand how sick that fucking religion is. But they share some parts with the, you know, the Torah, the Old Testament there. So, you know, but then people should go ahead then if they want to think in just in religious terms and go ahead and learn about the Talmud and learn more about the Old Testament and what they're talking about there is Jews. when they talk about these various things, and people, you read the part about the South and the war there, what people refer to as the Civil War, what some Southerners refer to as the War of Northern Aggression. But many people use the Old Testament to argue that slavery was okay because it was mentioned as being okay and that slaves should obey their masters. But they were, and you can have slaves of the other nations around you. Well, but people that read that, that are white, don't understand it was referring to Jews, that Jews can enslave others, just as Israel still allows that to this day. So the last point was on the war there, the Civil War. I disagree a little bit with Ben Klassen there, not necessarily in terms of why the Jews were concerned about the South and the aristocracy that was forming up there, but he kind of implies that, you know, these were some wonderful people and talking about a great culture that they had. Well, there was a serious problem with their culture, okay? It was a culture that had a fucking bunch of niggers in it, okay? Yeah, they weren't at their parties, and they weren't involved in the architecture and the paintings and the other art and all that, but they were still out and, you know, there in their societies, right? So they were scum, so let's remember that. And that's one thing that irritates me within the racial struggle is too much of this praising of the Confederacy. Remember, the leaders of the Confederacy were scum, all right? And they wanted to spread niggers everywhere. And there'd be a hell of a lot more of them and spread in places where they're not so heavily infested now if the South had their way. And yes, the leaders of the North, including Lincoln, were scum as well. But let's remember that. Both sides. There was no white side, okay? So, you know, there was no side fighting for white interest. If the South had better leaders that gave a shit about their own people more than just money, and the North had better leaders, there wouldn't have been a war. All right, so both sides were scum. And when people get so happy, Urban was posting in there, they're having some celebration of Lincoln's assassination. Hey, he was scum, deserved to be assassinated, and so did the fucking leader of the Confederacy. But let's face it, he was killed by a Jew because he was going to send, or at least it was the plan, to send the niggers back. And he also printed money outside of the Jewish banking system without paying usury to the Jews. They don't like that. So, you know, that wasn't necessarily a good thing, the timing of his assassination. It wasn't in our interest. And remember, Botha, he was a Jew. All right? So let's not be praising that guy. All right? And so that's about all I had to say. I just want to, I guess, cap it up that when we look at that war and think back to it, let's just not focus all of our hatred on the North and on Lincoln. And, you know, keep in mind that the South, the leadership of the South, did not have the best interest of their people at heart, okay? Slavery was not good for most white people. So, yeah, they had a fine culture in terms of the elite whites in the South. They were living high on the hog. But the typical white person, back then, there wasn't much of a middle class. Most people were, you know, just working class white people. They had pretty shitty lives, okay, that could have been better if it weren't for their scummy leadership that was dependent on nigger labor, that just depressed their labor. One last point. The reason I brought up the stuff about the Jews is me and Wolf were having a debate here back and forth in the chat, and you're familiar with his take on it, but and there's some others like that, too, that look at the Jews as just accepting a certain ideology, whether they're atheist or not, whether they're religious Jews or atheist, but they're accepting themselves as Jews, a certain ideology, a chosenness. I don't think we can fall for that stuff, because when the tides change and they realize, you know, cleansing time is coming and things like that, well, of course, they'll pretend not to be Jews. Oh, no, I don't buy into that. Not me. No, I've always been against that, you know. And we know this has happened throughout history. They have to be dealt with, every last one of them, looking back, at least going to, let's say, an ace. I think that's how the National Socialists looked at it. That seems reasonable, right? because otherwise they'll just say that, no, I'm not on board with that. I'm not part of the conspiracy. I never did support that. Of course, they'll pretend, like happened over and over again in Europe when a certain country, the king or the queen, would say, hey, we've got to get rid of these Jews. They're causing trouble. But they never totally got rid of them because some of them would profess, pretend not to be Jews. And back then, you know, there was the Christian angle. We don't want that now. You can't say, I'm going to convert to Christianity because we want to get rid of that shit too. But back then, they would pretend to convert to Christianity. They would still be Jews. It would just be an act, you know. So we can't just go with it as just being a belief system. The rabbis themselves say it's not, and we've all seen that video passed around the internet where he's talking to the young men there, telling them, make sure you marry a Jewish woman, because being a Jew is not about what you believe. It's not about religion. It's about your mother. You're a Jew if your mother's a Jew.
There are people who have been commenting on various websites. They try to give that impression that, just like what you were mentioning, you know, they try to weasel their way out so that they're not going to be included among the collective. But we should not let that deter what we need to do in the future. We should remember, we should learn that now and remember it, that all Jews are to be treated the same, all of them, just as they hunted down the so-called, you know, I hate using the word, but they had their Jew, their Nazi hunters, and they would go after all the Germans that they wanted to get. And that's the way we should be, you know.
And they didn't ask him, did you agree with the National Socialist ideology? They went after people that weren't even members of the party. You know, some guard somewhere that's 90 years old and they're hunting them down. We just can't have the idea that, well, if you profess to be a Jew and you accept Jewishness, well, then that's who we target. No, because they'll lie and say that they're not. They have to all be dealt with. Now, the only ones I could see where there's some exception is the ones who have come out big time, not a little bit where they're gatekeepers, but big time in the past, like Friedman and some others, and expose their own cult or their own conspiracy, their own racial group, and railed against them. And there's others that were actually assassinated, or there was assassination attempts for that. They're traitors to their own. Now, those people, I guess, could be considered exceptions. Not that you're going to allow them in your societies, but you might not deal with them, you know, that's up to other people, but, you know, the same way that you would deal with the rest down to the last frozen embryo. You want to make sure they don't pass on their seed, but they might be allowed, you know, that would be dependent on whoever's in charge, to live out their life. They would have to be sterilized. They would have to be out of our countries. But I could see where those people, you know, and there's only a handful. We're talking out of, you know, at least 20 million Jews, maybe more. You know, there might be a dozen like that throughout the last century that might be exceptions. That's about it.
Yeah, we'll need at least a few of them at first to, you know, closely monitored so they can go ahead and help collect a lot of the assets of all the other Jews, you know. We need them to get certain things for us. What is it? What's that word? Confiscation of Jew assets. You know, things like that. We'll need some insiders, too. They can stick around a little longer only by doing what we want. Just like the tricks they pulled on us, I think the same thing should be done to them. I mean, fair is fair, right? We are fair people. I want to bring another caller up. Stay there. I'm going to keep you on there. Good evening, caller.
Hello?
Yes. How are you?
Hi. Fine. My name is Leslie. And I'm just kind of getting started on a few things, and I wanted to start, I guess, with some definitions. And I was wondering if you could tell me what your definition of Aryan is.
Well, we have a lot of that posted all over. You know, you can go through the website. I'm not even going to touch that, and I'll tell you why. Because I really don't use the word so often like many other people do. I'll kind of leave it at that. And Bill, if you wanted to make a comment, you go right ahead.
Right, I don't use it either. White is slang. We're not talking just about the color. You know, if I'm talking about painting the house, well, then I'm talking about the color. But when we say white, we all understand it's slang for Caucasoid, which is a race. Some people use the term Aryan to, and most people accept this within the racial struggle, as the noble Caucasoids. In other words, not just being white, a typical lemming, doesn't mean you're an Aryan. Aryans would be the noble Caucasoids, but we don't generally use that term because too many people, there's too much confusion about it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and besides that, a lot of the people who do use the word probably shouldn't use it. And some of them are, you know, that I have heard use it in the past, they even admitted that they're not all white. And I thought, well, how can that be? I just thought there's such a misuse, widespread misuse of the term Aryan. And I never used it that much anyway, and I try to stay away from it.
Right, because some people will say, well, it could be the noble ones of any race. That's another reason why I just shy away from even using the term. But I'm fine with it when people think of it. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Hitler used it. As long as it's used in that context of noble white people, I'm not a fan of it when it's used to include all white people. And I certainly, which is why I shy away from it entirely, don't want it including people of other races. So they can make their own terms for the noble, like noble Mongoloids. They might have a term that they use in their language, whatever language it is, let's say Chinese, for the Chinese, that they might have a term for that for the noble Chinese people. It probably is a word that in Chinese just means noble, you know. So,
and so that everyone knows, I will post, you know, the link for the PDFs for these readings. Of course, the one is Nature's Eternal Religion, and it's the entire, well, at least books 1 and 2 of Ben Clausen. And the chapters that I quoted, well, you'll be able to find them easily, okay, just by that link. I'll provide that later. And then also the link for this other PDF. And
And I know you don't like to read stuff from the Bible and all that, but he focuses on that a lot because it's a underlying foundational problem that our people have, like I always say, in terms of their moral codes, whether they profess to be Christians or atheists, or agnostics, or both. You can be agnostic and atheist. It's still these moral codes that they get from all over, but especially from the YouTube, that are based on Christianity. So he covers a lot of that to get into that. But it's fine that you want to skip those, because I looked through what you skipped. You read those two chapters. One was more on different creatures and nature itself, a kind of might is right thing, and then you got into the one on the niggers and now the one on the Jews. So that's fine that you cover the ones that you think are most important, because we know we have Urban Jungle Girl that will be hitting hard on Christianity, and I might do a podcast on it again coming up soon. And so you just do what you want to do and just cover the ones that you think are best, and I think you pick some good ones there. And you can't go wrong reading from the Creator Holy books, I don't think.
But also, when I was looking through it the other day, I was thinking of Urban and some of the things that she reads. There's some things in the White Man's Bible she would probably like. And what I don't like is when you have to read the old, you know, how you have to say thou's and thine's and all that crap. That I don't like getting into so much, you know.
Right. Reading. Thou shalt not be a race traitor.
Yeah. When they get into too many of thou's and thine's and some of the babble of the Bible, makes for very dry reading, and the words we don't understand as readily as when we just use words we're familiar with today. So I just like having it in plain English or as close to that as possible.
My next podcast, I know I missed last week, sorry about that, kind of going to be just playing some clips about Christ's insanity and making some comments on them. Some of them are humorous. They're from my YouTube channel playlist, Christ Insanity. And so I didn't make any of these, but they're just some real good short little clips that just cover things on Christ's insanity. I understand that our regular fans are already aware of Christ's insanity for the most part, although some of them, I think, we do have people that are still a little bit infected, but for the most part, they don't need to hear these things. But there's new people that run across the site, and those that are already on board can use some of these podcasts that Urban does, or the one I'm going to be doing, and I've done others on Christ Insanity, to reach the reachable that are still infected, okay? Don't waste your time on people. You know, you can just tell some people just can't be reached, but reach the reachable, and sometimes they hear a podcast or they see a video, and it finally clicks with them, you know, and they didn't realize some of these things, or they, you know, just didn't think about it. So we're going to continue on this network to hit on Christ Insanity, although I understand it irritates some people because they say, we already know this stuff. Well, they don't have to listen to those podcasts then. People just, you know, listen to the ones you like, right? I wonder what the lady there was all about from the call showed from Oregon. I suspect she was probably an anti, but she might have been somebody just new to these things. She was asking about Aryan. I think she was going to bring up the India thing and all that. But who knows what that was all about. Let's see. Yeah, I've got some clips I'm going to play. So the podcast, some people might say when I do it, well, he just called in that podcast because I'm not going to say very much. I'm just going to play a whole bunch of clips and little bits of comments in between, but there really won't be much that needs to be said about them. It will just be a way to hit home on the absurdity of Christ Insanity. And many of them are very humorous, too. So, and I've added little parts to them so that they would, because some of them are videos where you need to see certain things to totally understand. So I do little narration to explain what's going on. And so I'll just be playing a bunch of clips, and I'm going to add those to the playlist for the 24/7 stream as well. I think they're really good. And there's certain people there on YouTube that are very good at making these videos that really ridicule Christ Insanity. And, yeah, I think that needs to be done because most of our people still profess to be Christians. And even those that don't are heavily infected with those Christian, suicidal, destructive, perverse moral codes.
We will end for the evening here, and I hope everyone got something out of the readings I included this evening. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. And those were David Lane's 14 words. Have a good night.